This is to you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out, trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven.
In 2009, the actor and comedian and author Stephen Fry appeared in a debate titled "The Catholic Church is a Force for Good in the World." Now, alongside the famous atheist Christopher Hitchens, Stephen Fry argued that it isn't a force for good in the world. Now, I'm not a Catholic. However, the debate sounded like an interesting one, and there was a particular moment that caught my attention. In a very clear moment of frustration and exasperation, Stephen Fry turns to his opponents and says, "What are you for? What are you for?" And it's met with thunderous applause. Now, people will ask that of the Catholic Church. They'll ask that of other churches. And they may even ask that of GCK as well. What are you for? It's an important question. I mean, just think, instead of sitting at home and having a well-earned afternoon nap on a Sunday afternoon, instead of watching the football, instead of doing the gardening, instead of a nice bit of self-care, you're here. We're all together, presumably because we think it's important that we be here. And a lot of time and effort, energy, and chiefly prayer has been put into making sure that this thing that we've got called Grace Church Kidlington exists. What is your answer to the question? If someone was to ask us, what are you for? Well, God's people change the world. That is what we're for. And through the countercultural way that we live and the life-flipping, upside-down message that we share about Jesus, we are different. We are distinct. We are unique. And we don't always get it right. I mean, sometimes we get it badly wrong, don't we? But we bring the wonderful news of Jesus to the world. We bring a message of hope and promise. And in doing so, it's like we appear as light in a dark room, banishing the shadows away. Now, make no mistake, it is Jesus in us, by his Spirit, who empowers everything we do. But Take comfort this afternoon. God's people change the world. Last Sunday, we saw Jesus sit his followers down on the mountainside and tell them about what life is like and what life will be like for people in his kingdom. And carrying on today, in Matthew chapter 5, he tells them who they are. If you're a follower of Jesus this afternoon, hear this today as King Jesus himself sitting you down, telling you who you are. You are blessed. You are salt. You are light. Firstly, you are blessed. Hopefully you've still got your Bibles open in front of you. That's in verses 11 and 12. You are blessed. So in the previous passage that we looked at last week, Jesus says again and again that his followers are blessed. Blessed are you if. Blessed are you that. Blessed are you if. Blessed. Blessed is used to mean happy, right, as Phil was saying last week. But it's not this sort of superficial, surface level happiness that goes from day to day, but this deep, abiding, profound joy. As Phil said last week, it's the kind of happiness that we sing of in the hymn, it is well with my soul. It's the kind of joy and contentment that sticks. It's stubborn joy. It's the kind that we as God's people can't shake off, even in the most difficult times when life is impossibly hard. But listen to the surprise in verse 11. Do you catch the surprise? Jesus says, blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Jesus says here that it's actually a good thing when people have a go at you because you follow Jesus. When people bully you and spread lies about you because you belong to Jesus, we actually have reason to be happy when that happens. Isn't that a surprise? And sure enough, that's what he says next in verse 12. He says, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So we can be okay with being insulted, persecuted, and lied about because we follow Jesus. Because we are in a long line of people, God's people, the prophets, telling the truth about God, suffering for it. And our reward in heaven will be huge, humongous. We can be laughed at now, hurt and insulted now, and yet have an untouchable contentment. Because later, when Jesus comes back, kingdom is established forever, there will be no more persecution. Tables will be turned, and we will enjoy our wonderful reward. Maybe take a moment just to think back to the last time, or some previous time when you were insulted, mocked, or persecuted for following Jesus. Do that now? Think about the occasion where that happened. What if you took a moment now to thank God for that? To thank him for the great reward that you have to look forward to, standing firm for. And even in this moment now, just to rejoice and be glad and to ask him for even more of that huge, inexplicable joy and that profound blessed. And what if you took a moment to pray for the next time that we experience that? to pray, Father, help me to be willing to endure insults and mockery for you. Help me to remember and focus on that wonderful reward when Jesus returns. Why don't we do that now? Let's take it. We sing that wonderful hymn that speaks of that blessedness, that it is well with our soul, even when life is difficult. When peace like a river tendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, that this blessed assurance control, that Christ has guarded my helpless state and has shed his own blood for my soul. This passage here, verses 11 and 12, almost gives us another verse that we can sing. When people insult me, persecute no end, what blessing my spirit shall know, that Christ is preparing my heavenly reward. Oh, rejoice and be glad, oh my soul. If you are in Christ, if you are a follower of Jesus today, you are blessed. And more than that, Jesus goes on to say that if you are one of his followers, this is what you are. You are salt. You are salt. Now I have here with me some salt. Anyone want to have a closer look at salt? There you are. Does anyone want to be brave and taste a little bit of salt? Yeah, Chris, go for it, mate. Go for it. Okay. Now, anyone else? No? Chris, in your most eloquent, most descriptive language. What's that like? What's it taste like? Salty! Salty! Remarkable, isn't it? Remarkable. Thanks, Chris. Salty. Nothing else could describe it. Salt is salty. Now, back in Jesus' time, salt was used, as today, to improve the taste of food. It was also used to make things last longer, to slow it perishing, you know. And we could draw some helpful things from that, some ideas of what that means for us if we are salt. But Jesus here seems to be concerned with salt losing its saltiness. Salt losing its saltiness. Let's read verse 13 again. You are salt of the earth. But if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Salt that isn't salty is literally pointless, isn't it? Imagine going to Tesco and seeing on the shelf, table salt, now with 50% less saltiness. Pointless. Absolutely pointless. It's no longer good for anything. Salt is unmistakably salty. It needs to be salty because it's salt. Christians are unmistakably Christ-like. We need to be Christ-like because that is who we are. It's like Jesus is saying to his followers, look, this is who you are. You are salt. You have a new identity. Forgiveness for your past. Hope for the future. You are now different. You are distinct. You have a purpose. Through the Holy Spirit living inside you, you bring change to your environment, to your family, to your workplace. When you put your faith in Jesus, he gave you a new life, a new identity, a new purpose. You became salt. And yet, if we lose our saltiness, what are we good for? God's people change the world, and yet often we find that we are changed by the world. God's people change the world, but often we find that we're changed by the world. It's possible to lose our saltiness, our Christness. Sometimes the arguments in the sports team or in the friendship group, sometimes they're caused by us. They're caused by Christians. Sometimes we're the problem. But instead, we need to be who Jesus says we are. Poor in spirit. Pure in heart. Peacemaker. We need to be salt. Some of you are in jobs where you line manage people. And when we see examples of laziness or weakness at work, or people let us down at work, we want to send them a harsh email. We want to read them the riot act. We want to be perceived as formidable in our line of work. Instead of being who Jesus says we are, mourning, meek, merciful, we need to be salt. These are just examples of how salt can lose its saltiness. And when that happens, people like Stephen Fry look at us and say, well, what are you for? But when we are different, when we are salty, we change the world. I mean, just think, some of you here today are Christians because of the saltiness of the Christians you met. They weren't perfect, were they? But they were different. They changed the environment that they were in, and they changed you. They were salt. And that's what we are too. That's what we can be. So lastly, you are blessed. You are salt. You are light. You are light. When was the last time that you experienced a power cut? Now, they seem to happen a lot more when I was a child. I remember the lights would go out suddenly in the evening. My dad would fetch his big old Maglite torch. You remember those? Sound of my mum striking a match, lighting candles. The warm feeling as the house filled with light again, till the power came back on. Look down, let's read verse 14. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone out. Jesus says here that you and me, if we are followers of Jesus, we are light. We are the light of the world. But in the same way that unsalty salt is absolutely pointless, here's another pointless thing to do. Putting a lamp on and then covering it up. It's not quite as thick as I hoped it. But you get the idea. Just for a minute. I'm not going to leave that on for ages. What's the point in that? We are like lights in a dark world, transforming and disrupting the world around us, shedding light, banishing the shadows. In a world of darkness and confusion, where people don't know God and yet are groping to find meaning, to make sense of who they are and why they're here and why they are the way they are. Jesus says, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds, glorify your Father in heaven. We need to let people see that our lives are different to the culture around us, that our whole lives are oriented towards worshipping Him, our King and our Rescuer, that our hearts are consumed with love for Him, and that we love people wholeheartedly, that we serve people sacrificially, that we forgive repeatedly, that we give generously, that we pray sincerely, that we work diligently, that we repent honestly, that we rebuke gently, that we hope fervently, and that we honor others selflessly. We live in a dark world. And when our family members and our neighbors and our friends and our colleagues who don't know Jesus see how we live, it's like the light breaking in the dark world. And God receives honor and praise when people acknowledge the role in that. Now, we can read these verses in Matthew as a command. Oh. Do good deeds for my friends and family. Like, do good deeds in order for them to see those good deeds. And maybe you're already thinking, maybe the cogs are already turning, you know, what good deeds can I do for my friends and family to see, so that they then praise God for that? Now, that's good. But I think the command here is slightly different. I think there's a slightly different emphasis here. I think the command for God's people is let them see. Let your light shine before others, Jesus said. You are the light of the world, Jesus said. God's Spirit lives in you. This is who you are. Don't hide it. Let it shine before others. Let them see. Let them see that you're different. So we're not commanded to switch the light on and off, to switch our goodness on and off in front of people, but to let them see. Let them see who we are. But for those of you weeping every day from grief, for those of us barely holding it together, feeling like you can barely get dressed yourself, let alone doing good deeds for others, sometimes we want to hide these things from others, in case they get the wrong idea about this life. Let them see. Let them see your struggle. Let them see, cling to Jesus. As you spend time with people who don't yet know Jesus, let them see the fruit of the Spirit, that God is growing in you, in your character. And the light that emanates from you, even if you're not aware of it. Don't cover it up. Don't hide from others. Don't hide from those who don't know Jesus. Let them see. God is able to do the most wonderful thing as people see the difference that He makes in the lives of His people, especially when they're struggling. We have many brothers and sisters in the church who have spouses who aren't yet Christian. If that's you today, maybe think, how could you let your light, like that you have, shine before them? How could you let your light shine before your husband or wife who doesn't know Jesus? Jesus says, let them see. Let your identity in Christ not be merely something that you leave the house for, but actually something that changes your perspective on everything. Let them see. Tell them about how Jesus changes your heart, your outlook, your approach. Let them see. Who are we? What are we for? Jesus says, you are blessed, you are salt, you are light. Pray, shall we?